Yeah, I think each player is individually different in terms of that. I think both offensive tackles are very good and have a chance to be very good players. And I think the defensive ends at the top of this draft do have a chance to be very good players and to be solid productive players. So I don't think at any of those top 10 players there's a huge amount of risk with any of those guys.
Have you done any
production
kind of like fire?
Potential, like Gus was just saying, the scout side of things, they look more just the measurables, you know, and to put them on the board. What do you as a general manager, how do you balance those two, a guy who's very productive versus a guy who might have just off the chart measurables?
Yeah, I think production is a key factor for us, and we want productive players for sure. And then the projection part of it, that's part of the scouting aspect, and that's what makes really good scouts in terms of being able to predict the future to a little certain degree in terms of, hey, this player has the skill set. In our system, he can do X or whatever we're going to ask him to do. So it's a little bit of a formula where we like both in terms of that.
Have you had any like mock draft situations, like fire drills where you just are sitting around talking about somebody and all of a sudden somebody rings the phone and you go, hey, Atlanta just offered blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you know what? We haven't had too many fire drills, and I don't anticipate having too many. Sometimes it will screw you up a little bit more than actually just sitting back and trying to evaluate everything. It's hard to really predict what other teams are going to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can look at team needs and you can look at where they're picking, but, you know, you have a pretty good idea that the top 30 to 40 players are going to be the top 30 or 40 players. Where they go, who picks them, that's the difficult part.
You already have it in your head what that number two pick is worth to you if another team offers to move to that spot?
I don't. I think it depends on really who falls there. And in terms of if there's a player there that we really like, we'll pick. And, you know, there has to be a value that if we're going to bypass a player, that's going to be worth for us.
Will you be anxious, or are you anxious already on draft day at just – in the past anyway, but this is a little different this one.
Yeah, I think hopefully I have a nice calmness to myself, but I am very anxious today and just to get this week going and then to get draft day here. So it's fun. It's an exciting time for not only the people inside our franchise, but this community too, to get new faces in Jacksonville.
I know you can't tell us, but do you know who the best player in this draft is? Is there a clear-cut best player in this draft in your life?
You know what is, I think there is. I think there is, yeah.
You mentioned this a little bit over there, but can you just elaborate, especially with this team being such a rebuilding process, the importance of draft picks and the value that this franchise is placing on draft picks right now?
Yeah, I think that is the mindset that we have here. Our owner, Shad Khan, and Gus and myself, is the vision is to build this through the draft. So we put a high value on all of our draft picks, and we don't like to trade them away unless we really feel like it's going to be something that's going to help us in the future. So we would like to acquire more, if anything else. So it's a key component to us building this for the sustainable future.
We all guess, but there's a sense out, even the experts, the national guys, have no clue what you're going to do
right.
Just because you're new GM.
Sure.
Is there some fun in that for you?
No, it's not really fun. And like I said the other day, we're just going about our business and trying to do the best that we can for the organization. So our process, you know, we went through it and we looked at all different kinds of positions. We brought all different kinds of players in. And what teams, you know, I think teams and media try to understand what we're doing. But we're just trying to go through the process and trying to find out the best scenario for us.
Is it an advantage?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Hey, Dave, I asked Gus the same thing. Is there any chance with a number two pick you could pick someone that you haven't had time with?
No.
No chance.
No.
Okay. Do you have a pretty strong feeling on who in front of you in the second round, in other words, the late first round, what those teams are going to do, and how important is it to know, you know, 20 through 32, having a 33rd pick?
Yeah, 20 and 32 is really difficult. You kind of have an idea of the players that may, you know, we'll be sitting there at 33, and we'll have about five players that we think will be there for us. And depending on which one of those five players are there, will depend on what we deem as the trade value for that pick.
Do you know?
And then sometimes there's more than five. Sometimes you're like, oh, you know, that may be a different player that falls that you didn't expect to fall.
You'll have a lot of time to determine that.
Which is great for us, yeah.
Do you know exactly when you knew who you were going to pick?
Yeah, I think after our coaches' meetings and once we went through the whole process with our scouts and our coaches and kind of came into a consensus with our coaches and with Gus, that it became very clear what direction we needed to go in this draft.
When was that?
Probably about a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
How many guys did you bring in here, roughly?
30.
30?
30.
Yeah.
Okay.
You haven't even told your wife who you're picking?
No, and I don't think she would know him if I did.
If you had the number one pick, you'd already know who you were taking.
Yeah, yeah.
And who would that be? Number one is not number two.
That's so. Right. So hypothetically, if I was picking one.
You did this a little bit up there, but can you take us through the day of how you're going to – the call gets to New York and – what's that process? Who has the roles there?
Yeah, so Mike Perkins and Hamza is our director of football logistics. They're going to be in New York at the table. And basically, we'll have them on speakerphone, you know, from an hour before the draft and just, you know, talking to them. And basically, when we're on the clock, we'll have them write down on a piece of paper, hey, write this player's name down. And he'll write the player's name down. And after we get to a certain point in time in our 10 minutes, you know, I won't go past, you know, like the 5 minute mark to really squeeze it. We'll get the player on the phone and, you know, tell him we're going to select them and pick them, congratulate them, and then we'll send the pick into New York.
Well, I think, you know, in particular those two positions, you know, any way you can affect the quarterback or protect the quarterback, and, you know, that's big in this league. So if you get a good offense alignment, I think it helps not only for our team, it would help in depth, it would help. And protection of the quarterback, and just some continuity where we get some develop some competition within that group. As a pass rusher, anytime you can affect the quarterback, not only first and second down, but just the effect that it has on third down. And two vital positions for us. We've gone back and forth. You know, what's the most important aspect of your defense? You know, is it corner? Is it, you know, a rusher? But you know, at corner, obviously, we hold in high regard, but those corners become a lot better if you get rush on the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. How good does the number two pick have to be?
Well,
what do you envision?
Well, you know, I don't know about predicting or anything like that, but we hope that he's within our organization for a long time,
right.
You know, and playing at a high level for a long time. You know, that's your hopes, that you get someone that can solidify you know, a particular position group. So, you know, that's our hope. That's our hope. I think that's really the first couple rounds. You know, we're hoping that we've got guys that are going to be longstanding.
You feel like you control the draft a little bit, or is there an advantage to it, having the number two pick, and then on the second day having number 33?
Yeah, I do. You know, this whole process has been interesting to me, you know, to go through it and say, okay, you know, I'm kind of the scenario man, you know, say, okay, what happens if we trade down to 6? What happens if we trade down to 8? We trade down to 12? We trade down to 15? And we get these two picks. Is that something that we're looking at? And then if we do, what would be our plan if we do trade down? You know, what guys would we be looking at? You know, all those scenarios, and they're great. And our scouting staff, just going around the league and talking to guys, head coaches and stuff, they all fire back and say, Gus, your scouting staff is top notch. Every drill we go to, they seem to be the guys doing the drills. And I'm seeing it firsthand. I think they're outstanding. And just to go through that process and see them and how much conviction they have in these guys after we've watched them, it's great, and I think it's a credit to Dave's leadership with them.
Can you take us inside the room with you and Dave when you guys are trying to make this decision the last few months or weeks or whatever? And is there some debate going on? And I want that guy, or how much influence do you have?
You know what? It really has. I think it's, you know, we talk about different things. We just go out to, we'll watch tape from, you know, 7 in the morning till 6 at night, and then we may go eat, and that's all we're talking about is the draft. We'd be boring around anybody else, I imagine, but, I mean, we just go through different situations. You know, how do we see this, and how do we envision it? And it's been great because we are along the same lines, and for me, it's at times when maybe I say, well, maybe we should go here. He's like, you know, let's keep within our vision, and he's right, and you know, to see that, I still don't understand when we're not drafting 7 defensive players. No, it's not like that. It's you know, we go through and I'm seeing the whole picture unfold and what it is. And, you know, for the last couple of years in Seattle, 3 or 4 years that I've been up there, I've been really involved in watching the process and the mindset and the thought process that goes with it. And I remember John Schneider, the GM, said, you know what, Gus, just trust in the fact that 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to build a team that with guys that really love football and they're really competitive. It's going to happen. It just, and so I said, well, I want to watch this. I want to see how this takes place. Okay, I'm there from day one. You said this. Let's see how you're going to go about doing it. So I really took it with a watchful eye. And it's some of the things that I'm seeing happen here. And it's the conviction. It's the patience. It's the, you know, let's not take for need so much. Let's try to take the best player. And I think that's how you do it if you want to build it longstanding.
How different has it been for you as the head coach? Is it completely different?
The draft part of it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, just to be involved in some of the discussions. Both in Tampa, we as a coaching staff were heavily involved. We were in there not only on the defense but the offense. So really, I would probably throw a lot of credit to John Gruden because that's how he did the draft. So he felt it was extremely important for the defensive coaches to sit and listen to the offensive coaches talk about people and vice versa. So I got a chance to, because that's who we're going against in the league, and if we drafted someone offensively or someone else, he wanted us to know that person. And same thing in Seattle. We went through and had a chance to sit on both sides. So that's what I'm doing now. So it's great practice. And, you know, I owe a lot of thanks to both Pete and Jim Moore for that fact. He was involved with it as well, but and John Gruden.
Dan, talking about the what-if guy, coming up with what-ifs. How many do you come up with, like, the thing that seems like it couldn't possibly be something would come up? I mean, how much do you push the envelope on these what-if questions?
Until they say, okay, Gus, enough. No, I'm like that. I want to know. I want to say, okay, what's going on? How about this and this and this? And could this happen? Because I think, to me, that's my mindset is to compete and say, okay, come on. How about this? Is this a better deal for us? What's the best thing for us to do? And or if we do trade back, would we be happy with these four guys rather than just not trading back and be happy with these two guys? You know, what are we all thinking here? But they've been so strong and so convicted on it. It's been great. And, you know, this is along the process of Dave and I have been watching tape a long time on all these guys. And, you know, I think, what was it, yesterday, you know, we thought, well, we'll go till 7 o'clock at night. I think it was somewhere around 4:30. He said, I think we're pretty good today. You know, I think we're pretty good. In our minds, the evaluation process is never over. I know that's in my mindset. It's never done. So, Gus, are you ready? Yeah, there's no doubt he's on it. Now, does that mean that you wouldn't watch tape on Wednesday? Oh, yeah, we'll watch tape on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because, you know, it's never over. And you can always find out things about people and, you know, even their play. So, you know, we'll continue that. And I know for him it'll be a little bit more calmer mind. But, you know, the scouts, I'll be talking to them and asking questions and watching tape.
Dan asked you earlier, how good does that guy have to be? But, I mean, you take the number two pick in the draft. That's a plug-in starter, right?
He should. He should. I know our coaches are a little leery of saying, oh, yeah, that's a definite. Dave Caldwell, he's like, we took him with the second pick. He should be a starter, and he's right. He's right. You know, it's the competition thing where he's got to come in there and compete. But, yeah, that's what you would like to see happen is that you pick a guy at that high in the draft that he should have the ability to come in and earn that starting spot.
So you think that no matter what happens on Thursday night, somebody calls you, you take a pick, you're going to know the player, you're going to know his value no matter where you pick, and you're going to have done the research no matter whether
what scenario
the,
or
whatever scenario.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
you're
going to
know so much about this guy.
Yeah.
You're going to be very confident whatever
right.
you do.
To me, there's absolutely no doubt. I think these guys know it. If you said in the seventh round and the free agents, I mean, they've been doing all the work on the free agents and they're going through this whole process too. So, yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time. Saturday, it was, you know, sixth and seventh round, you know, guys at this position. Okay, what if, and how are we going through this? And, you know, that was, you know, Dave went through that whole process with all of us as, you know, as a coaching staff. We brought our coaches. Our coaches were heavily involved now. That was something new that we weren't accustomed to. I know that you'd go there, look at your position, but we had a couple coaches in the office, well, three or four during the weekend, and they sat in there and went through the whole process with us. So they completely understand what we're going through at that position.
Is there any way you draft a guy number two that you haven't met? Is there any scenario there?
I don't think that could happen. Watch. No, I don't think so. You know, we brought so many guys in and met them through the combine and things like that. Yeah. You know, I don't foresee that happening.
Guys, from a philosophical standpoint, over the last 5 or 6 years, there's so much research done, as you said.
Right.
Can you get so nitpicky about a guy, about different guys, and say, and constantly see their flaws in your mind and not take into account?
As a coach, as a coach and a scout is two completely different mindsets. Some scouts will say, okay, height, weight, speed, and then all the, you know, the other things that he has. He's got good instincts and all that. But height, weight, speed automatically puts him on the board at a guy that they could, you know, seriously take a look at. Where sometimes coaches are, we look at it as, how come he can't buzz dropper? How come he can't pass set on a speed tackle? How come he can't do those things? They're going, hold on, Gus. That's your job to do that as a coaching staff. We're trying to get the height, weight, speed, and some of these qualities. Not everybody can do those things. That's where you come in as a coaching staff. You know, so that's how I've had to train my eyes and say, hey, he has value because he has these things. Obviously, you know, someone in the sixth or seventh round, something maybe in the scout's eyes isn't quite there. Maybe it's, you know, he has a little stiffness. He has a little bit of that. But that's our job as a coaching staff to, you know, to try to help him out with that. And so many times you've heard, I mean, I can just, you know, I hate to talk about Seattle, but look at the Cam Chancellors and Richard Shermans and the things like that where they go, well, he's got this, but he's missing this. And then you just coach him up, and next thing you know, they develop. So it's been good to see it kind of in their eyes and how this whole thing is put together.
By this time, everybody's guessing. Everybody wants to know, are you good at keeping the secret?
Oh yeah,
or are you, or is it kind of, is your approach kind of like, I know and everybody else doesn't know, or how do you feel about that?
You get a lot of people, you know, asking. What? That's what I, to me. I mean, obviously, this is Dave's. I mean, he's put so much work into it, and the scouts. You know, for me, I've been watching them since the end of January or February. Watching these guys have been watching them since last May or April. I mean, they already know right now. That I asked them the other day. We were sitting in there waiting for the next clip to come on. I said, "Can you tell me the top 10?" Guys coming out in the draft, and they're reeling them off. I was like, jeez, you know, I couldn't tell you any of them. You know, so it just tells you that you really rely on those guys, you know, for some of it. Obviously, I watch 5-6 games and some of the cut-ups that we have on each guy, but these guys have watched every game and met him in person and met the school custodian, and, you know, they've done all that stuff. So they obviously know him a little bit better than we do, but, you know, we get to the point where we have a great feel for him.